Hello, and welcome to the Mercenary Star Podcast. We are a Battletech podcast highlighting the storied mercenary units in the newest Kickstarter from Catalyst Game Labs and beyond. My name is Seth, also known as White Fox, and I'm your host. I'm joined today by a very special guest, my co-host for the day, Aaron from Of Mechs and Men. How are you doing?
Hey, everyone. I'm doing great. I'm very excited to talk about Snords here.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, we'll dive into it here shortly, but we're going to talk about, we're in episode 8, key number to announce. And we're going to be covering the Snords Irregulars. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's honestly the perfect follow up for the Wolf's Dragoons from last episode. So we'll dive into that in a minute. But first, Aaron, let us know a little bit about yourself. How did you get into Battletech?
So I've been into Battletech starting with, which is the story for a lot of people, MechWarrior games. MechWarrior was one of the first video games I ever played, playing it on a floppy disk on an old, like, military-issued laptop. And throughout the years, I played the games as they came out, loved them. And then it wasn't until I was in high school that a friend of mine said, "Hey, have you ever played Battletech before?" And I was like, "No, I have no idea what that is." And he started showing me some of the mechs. And I was like, "Oh, that's like a mech from an old video game that I like." And that's when he said, "Oh, they're the same thing." So we had some fun with it. Then a few years later, we had the box set come out. And Brent was the one out of our friend group, my co-host over on Of Mechs and Men, and he said, "Hey, let's play Battletech together." And after that, I think the first game I played an Atlas, turned on concrete while running, fell, landed on the cockpit, was out of the game instantly, and I was in love from that point on.
Oh, that's amazing.
For the next decade, me and Brent played on and off pretty much every week against each other, and just continued rolling with it. So around that time, we had all the games and everything come out. We had MechWarrior Online, Harebrained Scheme. It just was a great time to follow through with it.
That's fantastic. And it's stories like that, which is why I love classic Battletech. I love the granularity of it. I love the stories that we all get out of those games of you ran, you tried to turn on concrete and you fell and crushed your head, right? End of game, right? Or, you know, I've had them where it's like, I'd lost both my arms and I decided to go ahead and just jump on somebody's head and it worked. You know, it's like one of those like 1 in 100 chances and I totally won a game off of Death from Above. And then I try it way too often after that because I got it to work one time.
Every time. Battletech is not a game that you can go into and hope to win every time. You're just going to hope for a story at the end.
But I love it. I do love that. I also love that the classic lends itself to narrative play. Fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us. We will shout it out at the end, but if you have not heard of Mechs and Men, the Battletech book club podcast, I guess, if you will. you should definitely check it out. It's amazing. They're currently covering the Warrior Trilogy, and so that's a lot of fun. So let's dive into our unit for the week, the Snords Irregulars, shall we?
I'm ready.
All right. Moving over on the YouTube. If you're not watching on YouTube, if you're listening to the podcast, we thank you for it. But definitely give it check it out on YouTube. We'd love to have your sub, give it a like. But you can also check it out in video on Spotify as well. And you'll be able to follow along with a lot of the things we're talking about here. So first and foremost, Snords Irregulars was founded in the year 3007. They are an interesting unit. I've never really been a fan of them. I think because there's not a lot out there, first of all. But I did find it fascinating researching them for, you know, for this, that there, I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, I do like the fact that, you know, some of their history and where they came from. So we're going to talk about that. But Cranston Snord was the guy who started Snord's Irregulars. And he was the, of the Wolf's Dragoons, and then broke away from the Wolf's Dragoons and started Snord's Irregulars with, like, he had only his own mech. And then in a card game, he won this, like, pretty much pile of trash mercenary unit called McFinley's Manglers. Literally five mechs, like one and a half of them worked. And a Union class dropship that was about to fall apart as well. But he won them and then turned them into the Snord's Irregulars.
He made them work for him.
He made them work. Sold them off. Started the mercenary unit, and then, you know, went on to infamy for their own specialty from there. So, also too, I think this is another reason why I didn't like them. I realized this in researching it. Their logo, if you will, is an American quarter. And to me, I'm like, okay, this is the most unoriginal, horrible mercenary logo that you could come up with. I mean, it's the year 3007. The United States of America is not a thing and hasn't been for like 1,000 years. You know,
it definitely isn't high up there on the patches you want to order with the Kickstarters and all of that.
It's really not. And then there's also the whole confusion with the fact that they use the eagle side of the American quarter, it's like a specific one, like the Liberty mm-hmm. quarter or something. They use that one, but they also use the buffalo nickel, like the buffalo yeah. side of the buffalo nickel. Now, slightly cooler, because those in my childhood have even been rare, and I'm a child of the 80s, and so, you know, that's a little bit cooler than the quarter, but it's like, it's just a coin. Like,
it is. And when at first glance, you're going through and you're looking at all the cool logos of all the different Merc units, you're looking at the stories of all the other Merc units, and then you come across Snords. And it is one of the reasons I love them, is that they are so eccentric all the way through.
They really are
the, we could say, the goofy side of BattleTech. We have so many great dramatic stories. We have so many great political and thrillers, and all the different genres are covered. And then you have the Snords come in representing the fun, wacky Indiana Jones adventures that they want to have all the way through. And they just pop in and out of the fiction and the lore whenever they seem to feel like it. And whenever that happens, somebody's having a bad day because they've come in crazy.
If it had been presented that they were the Indiana Jones unit of the BattleTech universe, I think I probably would have liked them better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think I probably would have even grown up being like, okay, the quarter makes sense. The buffalo nickel makes sense, because their whole shtick is that they are finding ancient Star League and Lost Tech artifacts from the history of humanity. And mm-hmm. that's their whole thing. That is literally part of why they were created. And then they're also really good at it. So, like I said, I think if it had been presented in that such a way, I think I probably would have been a little, you know, more excited about them as a unit. As it was, they just weren't anywhere in the lore hardly either in the first part mm-hmm. of the battle. I mean, they were there, but it was briefly in mention, you know, in passing. And it was also, I mean, they had their own source books, which is also weird. So first appearance for them, by all accounts that I can find, was the Cranston Snords Irregular source book. You know, correct me if I'm wrong. If you're on the YouTube and you're like, no, it was here, you know, comment on it and give me a link, or point me in the direction where I can find it. And I will correct it, but I couldn't find anything else. Everything else published that mentions them, referenced on Sarna and everything everywhere else, is newer than the Cranston Snords source book. So that came out in 1986. Their first appearance in fiction was actually 1988 in a short story in the Shrapnel Anthology from 1988. It was a story called Dispatch. So they've been here the whole time. They're just kind of in the Dragoon shadow, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, you know, a couple fun facts, and we'll get into a little bit more of the details later. But what we didn't know when this source book came out in 1986, and we didn't know until the Clan Invasion stuff came out, was that the Wolf's Dragoons were clan, and that there was something called the Dragoon Compromise, where the clans created the Wolf's Dragoons and sent them to the Inner Sphere. Well, then once that was revealed, then it kind of is like, oh, is Snord part of the clans? Why, yes, he is. Mm-hmm. He was also part of the Dragoon Compromise and was a clan wolf freebirth warrior from that, which, you know, it was kind of cool. And so, again, it just kind of lends to that. Also, you find out, you know, we first were like, oh, he left because he didn't like Jamie Wolf and they got, you know, didn't get along. Well, then later you find out, oh, no, it was actually Jamie Wolf wanted him to go start a unit specifically to go be the Indiana Jones of the Battletech mercenary units.
Yep.
And if
they left on bad terms, then people wouldn't follow along on what they were doing. Basically let them fade off into the sunset and let them rob as many tombs as they could find.
Absolutely. And it also took away the... you know, it kind of took the limelight off of the Dragoons when, you know, the Snords regulars were like finding all this lost tech and artifacts and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was probably there was a lot of mutual information shared for some of that. So, yeah, that's kind of some cool things there. Also, one of the things that they found, one of the artifacts they found that I thought this was crazy was Stefan Amaris's throne. Okay. Yeah. That's, you know, it's
not sure what you're going to be able to do with it,
that's
but
crazy,
they found it.
Right? I mean, it's like finding, you know, I don't know, for us, the equivalent would be like finding like Hitler's armchair, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. That's crazy. I'm sure it's worth a ton of money, but do you really want it?
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
But it's a cool piece of history, okay? And then also, one of my other favorite little tidbits was that they had, they occupied Camelot Command, the Star League base that's out there in Jade Falcon space during the Clan Invasion, but it's in Lyran space. But also because, you know, I was of an age where I enjoyed the Battletech cartoon in the 90s. I was waiting every week for the next episode. Came out on Saturday mornings, or no, it was Sunday mornings. So it wasn't even Saturday mornings. It was Sunday mornings. And so like, I had to tape it while I was at church and then I could come home and watch it that afternoon. VCRs, ladies and gentlemen, they're a real thing. Lost tech.
Modern day lost tech. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. so yeah. But anyway. Okay. So, if you're watching the video again, we've got a picture of Cranston Snord and his daughter Rhonda Snord, which also, again, going back to the fun facts here, she also was from Clan Wolf. She just was a child when she came, you know, with them from Clan Homeworlds. And that was one of the things that was pointed out. But here's what I'm getting from this photo, or from this picture. It's not a photo. They're not real people. Strong Natasha Kerensky vibes.
That with a dash of Tank Girl in there.
Oh, absolutely. But I mean, but think about it. She knew Natasha Kerensky.
Mm-hmm.
She at least spent a year traveling from the homeworlds to the Inner Sphere with probably in somewhat close proximity and knowing of and who Natasha Kerensky was, I just, that kind of like, you know, shocked me a little bit to remember that. Also, too, they have these like artifacts with them, right? Like she has like, you know, the Karate Kid, like not quite, but almost like the Karate Kid headband, you know, kind of thing. And then her shirt says Elvis is King. So, and then I have, you know, and then I'm curious, like, what's his jacket? Like, is it supposed to be something? And the sword that he has, is that some other weird artifact? I don't know.
Yep. I figure they woke up every day and looked in their closet and said, what is the coolest stuff we have? We're going to put that on.
Absolutely.
Like, what is the craziest stuff we found?
Yeah. The sunglasses on her shirt are probably some like relic, you know?
Oh yeah.
Like some Ray-Bans from ancient Terra. but yeah, so that's actually the photo from the, or the, I keep saying photo, it's the picture from the cover of Cranston Snords Irregulars source book. And so the source book is on the screen now, as well as the later book, Rhonda's Irregulars, which she, when she was old enough to be a mech warrior, she was commanding a company in the Snords Irregulars. And then later, when she took over, sometimes they would also be called Rhonda's Irregulars, not just Snord's Irregulars. So as a unit, but yeah, some other fun facts. I got snagged some BattleTech card game images because they were in there too. you had contract with Snord's Irregulars and Rhonda Snord as a pilot in the card game. I loved the card game. If, I don't know if you ever got to play it. I still have mine.
That's the one area I never really got to dive into. That was bigger during the time when I was unaware of BattleTech being its own independent thing. But I have seen so many of the cool like card art and descriptions that have come through some of those, and it just makes you want to, you know, find a couple of them and have the ones that you just fall in love with.
Yeah, it was short-lived, which was unfortunate, but and unfortunately, I did not have disposable income as a high schooler when it was in its prime, and so as any collectible card game gamers know, it costs a lot of money to have entire collections, so I did not even attempt it, but I have a fair amount. I have four or five decks worth of cards and then spares besides that, but
I do love how in this card, though, for the Rhonda Snord card, how you were drawing the comparison to Natasha Kerensky.
Yeah.
And then the quote on the card down at the bottom is from Natasha Kerensky.
I didn't even read that, but yeah.
And the quote is, of course she's good. She copied me.
See,
so
I knew it. I knew it, and I hadn't even read the flavor text on that yet, so that's fantastic. But yeah, like I said, makes total sense. So I appreciate that little tie in there. So, and then also more than recently, moving into the Ill-Clan era, the current commander is Joshua Snord, who is grandson, I guess, of grandson or great grandson. I'm not sure which of it's probably grandson to Rhonda. So great grandson to Cranston. But he kind of embodies their same youthful spirit. And so, yeah, good times. And then the Force Pack, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But
but I do love how you can kind of follow their history along it. And they're one of the few mercenary units that managed to stay right outside of most of the bad stuff that was going on throughout the different eras. So where they didn't take like critical losses, they managed to pick their fights well. And of course, they had some run-ins with Jade Falcon during the clan invasion that cost them. But throughout it, they've stayed pretty much the same beats all the way through. They grew in strength. They went back and lived in their museum base that they loved and just kept doing what they were doing exactly the way they wanted to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, I'm going to go into a little bit of I'm going to go into a little bit of the summary that we have for them, and then we'll talk about the force pack real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Also, real quick, too, this will be in the show notes, but they did have the two dedicated source books, Cranston's Nord's Regulars in 86 and Rhonda's Regulars in 1991. And then there's only been three pieces of fiction about them, but they've been in a lot of other source books as well. But Dispatch, which was the Shrapnel anthology from 1988, and that was by Elizabeth Danforth and Michael Stackpole. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know. And then Call of Duty, which was by Blaine Lee Pardoe in 2001. That was part of the Civil War stuff, and that was Archer Cristofori with Archer's Avengers. And then Permanent Losses, which was a Battle Corps short story by Aaron Cahill in 2016, right before Battle Corps stopped. So, but those are the only three pieces of fiction that I can find on them. If, again, anyone has any more out there, please let me know.
Yeah, it is something, you'll check the Sarna article on it, and you'll see a lot of like one-page mentions, but a lot of it's either in source books or any of just small mention one-offs. So nothing where it's too dedicated.
All right. So we kind of hit on some of these points, but the Snords Regulars, again, left the Wolf's Dragoons in 3007, secretly at the behest of Jamie Wolf to form his own unit and search out Star League and Lost Tech in the Inner Sphere separately from the Dragoons to keep suspicion at a minimum. With only his Archer, he was fortunate to win, in a card game, the crumbling mercenary unit McFinley's Manglers, which was five broken mechs and a dilapidated dropship, to form the Snords Regulars. Desperate to earn money and pay off debt, their first contract was with Janos Merrick for the Free Worlds League. And Janos was just a shifty guy altogether. I mean, he would hire mercenaries and then just betray them left and right. I did it with the Dragoons, too.
Mm-hmm.
But Janos tried to absorb the unit and their equipment, starting a feud that would last decades when Snord led a mercenary rebellion and escaped. And some of the remnants of other mercenary units ended up joining him in that time. If you want to maybe take that second section there, if you've got that.
Let me try refreshing the notes here.
Like to...
Oh yeah, you know, bounce
ping pong back and forth there. I don't like to talk the whole time.
yeah. No worries. Let me grab. I was running off the old document, so I had to refresh.
Oh, I hadn't refreshed. Yeah, you're good.
Yep. So okay. And Janos Merrick. Okay, so they would work for Lion Commonwealth. Gotcha. All right. So with that, they would also work for the Lyran Commonwealth during the Fourth Succession War and the War of 39, and into the Clan Invasion. During that time, Cranston would suffer a heart attack in 3034, and that is when Rhonda took over.
Yeah.
Before the invasion, Jamie Wolf met secretly with the Snords, informing them of the pending Clan Invasion and asking them to confirm secret mech production facilities on Outreach, the planet that they were trying to get to from House Steiner. Or the planet they were trying to get from House Steiner. The Irregulars volunteered and gave Jamie a full accounting of Outreach while falsifying the reports to the Lyran Commonwealth. There is a fun little story there during that period when Rhonda was taking over that Cranston kind of takes his last ride out, and it is to visit the grave of Janos Merrick.
Yes.
And the only objective was to lay down a bed of flowers and to share a drink over top of his grave, saying he at least owed him that much for being such a pain in his ass all the way through.
Isn't that hilarious? Like,
yes.
He literally spends millions of C-bills to go travel to Janos Merrick's grave illegally. Like, you know that they snuck onto the planet and they snuck in and they sat there. And but it's funny because he also kind of considered it like, it's like he didn't have the hatred that Janos Merrick did, you know. It was like,
no, it was all just part of the game. It was rubbing it in, as well as saying, like, I at least owe it to the guy. And I just think that is one of those things that really sums up who they are. It's just...
Yeah. And it also doesn't... I didn't include it in here, but I mean, even, you know, Wayne Waco with his feud with the Dragoons extended to, you know, it basically Janos Marique played off that too to try to destroy not the only the Dragoons, but also the regulars, because again, Janos did not apparently like mercenaries, even though he tried to employ them. So but yeah, after the clan invasion, the irregulars would face off mostly against Clan Jade Falcon, even drawing the ire of Vander Van Chistu when they operated out of Camelot Command behind Falcon lines. I loved the little thing about that. So they had been basically trying to find Camelot Command. They had a whole operation where they're like, we know it's there. We just need this little bit of data. And they like went and did another operation. It was called... Operation something. But they went and they basically raided some other place to get this data. And they're like, now we know where it is. And they go only to find out that they've been beaten to it by the first Somerset Strikers. Mm-hmm. Which, again, was part of why I was like, oh, I love that they're part of this history now. Because, again, I loved the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so... obviously they kind of decanonized the cartoon itself, but most of the elements of it, they still remain as canon in some form or fashion. So
yeah, I love this.
Yes. Yeah, so the fact that the Lyran Commonwealth actually knew about Camelot Command and had already gone and stripped it. And so the Snorge regulars show up, and this is like one of the few times they get to a Star League base and it has already, you know, been beaten to the punch. but then they use it to operate against the clans, which is fantastic. So I love that.
That was something during that clan invasion time period that it's mentioned in the Rhonda source book that Jamie Wolf coordinated with Rhonda, basically saying, like, who are you fighting for here? Like, you know, we've drawn our lines. Where are yours? And they said, hey, we're in the Inner Sphere now. So we fight for the Inner Sphere. This is where all our stuff is. So,
and boy, did they have stuff.
Oh, they had stuff. Absolutely. Seems like a whole career of.
I mean, it's the only mercenary unit I know of that has had a museum for, you know, a long time. So, then they, during the FedCom Civil War, they ended up trying to kind of stay out of it, though the contents of the novel Call of Duty, they actually kind of get tricked into fighting Archer Cristofori and the Archer's Avengers because they were under contract to the Lyran Commonwealth and Catherine Steiner Davion, right? Mm-hmm. That horrible person that she is. So Archer goes to try to basically recruit them, and then Loki agents are like, no, let's make them fight each other. That'll be cool. And so that happens. They eventually find out in the book and leave Catherine's service, but then they're still like, we still don't want to be involved in this. So they get deployed against the clans. After the Civil War, we kind of, you know, time kind of jumped forward. We had the whole Blakist era. to try not to use that word that, you know, gets us all blacklisted on YouTube. But they survived all of that, like you said, and then they moving into the dark, you know, into the Dark Age in the Ill Clan, we had Joshua Snord ends up taking over from his father, who his father apparently was like too much of a, you know, he was anti-risk and anti-reward, basically.
Which is anti-snort.
Anti-snort, so. Yeah. I guess you could see a reasoning where growing up with family that was crazy like that, and then like, I don't want to do that. But yeah, he only led it for a short time, and then Joshua took over and is the current commander of the Snord's regulars. And so it's good to see them back in the business of crazy, because they basically went and raided Clinton in Merrick Space and got all of their stuff back from the Snords Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's crazy is then he just sold some of it to basically fund them getting back up to battalion strength in like the 30-50 year around there. So
seems like they're always looking for the next thing they're going to find, even if it means you got to sell off some of the old stuff.
Well,
you found.
Shoot. Now at this point, you've got the Clan Glass Scorpion and their seekers that are searching for all this stuff too. So I bet they would pay a pretty penny for a lot of it as well. All right. Well, hey, let's take a look at the force pack for the Snorns Irregulars, because this is the last force pack that we have for any of them. If you're viewing it, it's horrible.
Mine here.
But
minus Frankenmech, who's out getting ready for it.
Yes,
getting ready for painting.
We do have a picture, so it's on the screen. But we've got some pretty interesting mechs in this one, because again, Snords Irregulars don't do anything regularly; they are irregular. So we start off and we've got the variant Highlander for Rhonda Snord, which was also, I did always like the fact that she piloted a Highlander. I thought it was cool. Now, sometimes in the images, they would have horrible drawn images of her Highlander. It did not ever look like a Highlander back in the day. So she piloted a Highlander variant, which is pretty awesome. We have a jumping guillotine, which I always liked the guillotine myself. Got it here. And it's got the smoke plumes in the box as well, which I love that they have those. They work really well, actually. So
they're also a lot of fun to paint, especially if you're using contrast paints or anything like that to throw them together and just have them look good while not putting them on the table. But they're a lot of fun.
And then for the new mech in the box, we have the Spartan, which is a Star League era mech. Obviously, it's a cool sculpt too. It definitely is better than
it looks like a Star League era mech. It has a great look because of that. I like some of those older, we could say, to some people, maybe goofier designs, but I love them.
And then we have this unique to the Irregulars mech, and they just have dubbed it the Franken mech. Which is pretty crazy because it's basically an archer's left arm and left torso, a rifleman's like center torso and maybe cockpit. I don't know. As well, but then it's like a Warhammer's right arm. And but then what's also crazy is the original even had a Phoenix Hawk head. So that actually might have been the cockpit. I don't know. And then there's also some in the Force Pack, it has a Phoenix Hawk's head that can actually sit on top of the middle there, as well as like they kind of look like jet plumes or something. But then also has the Rifleman, what's
antenna
it called?
Antenna, top.
Yes, that you can use as well, because there are two notable pilots for this mech, both of them from the Snores Irregulars. And it's funny because it's the first one is Samuel Sneed, also went by Shorty, and he was a former clan warrior as well. He had his roots in the Dragoon Compromise. And he was an elite pilot, but he was also a tech. He was a tech that became a pilot. And so he like literally built it from scratch. And so I love that story. That's fantastic.
It seems like one of those things where it's like you're coming from clan society and you're coming back to Inner Sphere tech and you're like, man, do I miss Omnimex? Maybe I'll just make one in my own garage.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's also, so here's also, I think this is just probably not out there anywhere, but mm-hmm. he was a tech in the Wolf Dragoons and with the Clan Wolf, he could have been Trueborn that had failed mm-hmm. out. Because the name Sneed, isn't that a blood name in the clans?
Yeah, that is something that in the source book I didn't see when they were talking about it, because they mention Shorty a lot in there.
Yeah.
But
I mean, he was in the books for sure. So.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I just curious, like, you know, it was just a thought I had in looking at all this, that he could have been Trueborn
yeah.
because he was from that original group. And you know, Trueborns got put down to the lower castes all the time. Mm-hmm. So yeah, sorry if you can hear my dog barking in the background.
Oh, no worries.
I think my wife is home. but yeah, so that's crazy. And then also later his descendant, Elizabeth Lizzie Sneed, reacquires his mech from a museum, I think, and then basically starts tinkering with it as well. And so she has her own. So yeah, just crazy. Obviously this mech is unique to the Snords, but yeah, it's just, I don't know. I love the idea of somebody literally just building it from scratch out of parts in their garage. Like,
oh
so.
Yeah. Just saying, so, like, oh, here's the parts that I love. Here's the parts that I got. Let's make a mech out of it. So yeah. I think it's very fun that it's in the box here, so you get to play around
too.
With it.
I do too. And you know, I've heard some others talk about it. They're like, oh, you know, like it would have been nice to have something else, you know, maybe. But mm-hmm. but no, you know what? That's fine. I think it's great.
It is the Snort's back. So if you're gonna Snort's have back. A weird one. This
it's
is the
pack time
to
have
put
it
in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And it was in the fiction, so that helps.
Yeah.
For sure. So, yeah, well, that is our look at the Snords Regulars and their Force Pack. And like I said, you can find this Force Pack at your friendly local game shop or online at the sponsor of our show, Fortress Miniatures and Games. Be sure to check them out. They get everything in and usually get it out pretty quick, so they're pretty fantastic. But definitely check it out. As I'm interrupted by my dog. and so, yeah, you can definitely check it out. And get it now. Again, this is the last of the Force Packs that we have for Mercenary units. From now on, it's going to be ones without Force Packs. And so we're going to have to just... we did this with the Avanti's Angels, where we basically are going to have to decide what we think would make a good Force Pack. So you'll have to come back for somebody else, and we'll have to create a Force Pack, mm-hmm. you know, our ideal Force Pack for a unit. So that'll be fun. But yeah, so Aaron, again, thank you for joining us. We hope that you have had fun here talking about the Snords Irregulars. Let everyone know where they can find you and a little bit about the podcast you're on.
So, yes, absolutely. I had a blast. So, especially having an excuse to deep dive into Snords a little bit. I have found a unit I love through it. Something that I was barely aware of because of the Force Pack, then getting to go through it was a lot of fun to be able to do it for you here. So thank you for that opportunity. And as we were talking about earlier, I'm one of the hosts of the podcast of Mechs and Men. As you were saying, we're a BattleTech book club. So we are going through the BattleTech fiction, a few chapters an episode. We're trying to cover it as deep as the books deserve to be covered. A lot of the little stuff that you might have grazed over if you're somebody who read it 20 to 40 years ago, or if you're going through it your first time, we are just having so much fun with it. And I'm the host that has never read these before. It's my first time going through them other than one book a decade ago. So both my co-hosts, Kanan and Brent, are a little more versed in the universe than me, so we try not to do it with spoilers or anything like that. So feel free, if you're interested in that, if you want somebody to listen along with and cover the books, we're here for you. You can find us on any podcast host at Of Mechs and Men, and all our social medias are at Of Mechs and Men, either Twitter, Instagram, and we also hang out on the Valhalla Club Discord server, which a lot of the other content creators are on. So we have a great time in there. Feel free to come hang out with us there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The Valhalla Club podcast Discord has become quite the hangout for all of the BattleTech podcaster and creators, not just podcasts. But yeah, it's becoming quite the hangout. In fact, if you're not a part of that Discord, definitely check it out. I'll try to have a link. But we're getting ready to have a fun Solaris-style tournament between all who wished to be involved.
Yeah, we're both involved in that.
Oh, yeah.
Creator showdown here.
So I will probably try to record the episodes, or yes, the battles, if you will, and then clip a few highlights or something for my own part, at least. So, but it'll probably, we'll probably also stream it in their Discord live. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can all check out all of us as we do that, because I think a lot of us are going to try to do that, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Also too, if you haven't checked out any of our last episodes, go check it out. Last episode was Wolf's Dragoons with Aaron and Andrew Kroll from Wolfnet Radio Podcast. They're amazing. And then also Gen Con is coming up. Yep. I am not going, unfortunately, but it is next week. Well, this week, technically, because we're recording on a Sunday. I should have the episode out tonight. but yeah, it's this week. I am sending some Mercenary Star podcast stickers I'm going to send them. And so hopefully any of you podcasters who are there should be able to receive some of those stickers, of course my mind just blanked. Let's see. Armored Up is in On the Origins of Battlemechs. Mm-hmm. Is one of the hosts. Why can I not remember my own friend's name?
You posted it last night. I know, right?
I'm like,
It was. Why
he's
going to
give me a hard time. As Derek. No. Gosh.
Yes.
Thinking of Derek. Yeah, he's On the Origins of Battlemech, and also, not Armored Up. That's Chandler and Brute. He's On the Origins of Battlemech. So, but he lives close to me, and so he is going to bring some stickers, pass them out at Gen Con. So that'll be fun. I told him, you know, if he had extra, just hide him at the Catalyst booth or something. So
we will also be there.
Just kidding. If any of you Catalyst people are listening, I know a few of you have before.
But yeah, we'll also be taking some stickers as well. So if you see this episode, feel free. You see me there, track me down. We'll hook you up.
Yeah. So I can't wait though to hear all the things coming out of Gen Con. That's going to be exciting. Going to be distracted this week while I'm working, I'm sure. So, any other shout outs or mentions or anything you want to tell the fine peoples?
For anyone out there listening, thanks for joining the BattleTech community, especially for the content creators out there. As we shouted out the Valhalla Club Discord earlier, it is a great and welcoming group of people. Everyone works together so well, and it's so much fun. So we try to shout out everybody out there and spending the time to get out there. If you're somebody that has that idea for content creation, make something, because it's a great environment. So I know everyone here that's making something eats all of this stuff up. It seems like a lot of the time we're making content for other content creators as well, because we all love it.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks again for joining me, Aaron.
Thanks for having
and
me.
Have a fantastic rest of your day. And everyone out there, have a good, safe trip to Gen Con if you're going. And have a wonderful rest of your week. Night. And God bless.